Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan, joined as always by Shane and Jack. And tonight we thought we'd bring you a pod because there has been a lot going on, especially on the recruiting trail. FAU has been tearing it up recruiting wise. So we're going to dig into that and kind of talk a little bit about Shane's article that was posted this week. And yeah, we'll spend some time talking about recruiting. We've got talked a little bit about some linebacker issues since there's been a couple players with some interesting things on social media and something that came out of the Willie Taggart press conference. And yeah, players are back on campus or starting to come back on campus. So I guess we'll kind of kick it off with recruiting because that's kind of really the hot topic right now. And I'll turn it over to Shane. But just some quick stats. FAU does have the highest ranked class for the class of 2021. We also have the largest amount of commits, the closest number. We have 13 commitments at this point. UTSA has 12, and then the rest of them are in kind of mid to lower single digits, Louisiana Tech and Rice. So FAU really has done a lot, and I think really taken advantage of this quarantine time and this during this pandemic to be as productive as possible and using the time, especially coaches getting to know students and players. So I think that's pretty awesome, but we'll turn it over to Shane, kind of give us an idea on the amount of commits, because I don't think we probably had a handful of commits the last time we recorded a pod, and now we've got nearly a full class, which is pretty awesome. I think that says a lot to this coaching staff and also this time of year. So I don't know, Shane, what are your thoughts right now on where we stand commitment wise?
It really doesn't get much hotter for this than we've kind of seen in FAU's history, other than maybe those couple days before signing day itself. FAU, between the dates, the week of June 7th to June 14th, we saw 6 commits from high school players. Michael Irvin Jr., who we'll talk about, announced his grad transfer here. Marvin Alexander, who will be transferring here from Kentucky, was a star high school player down here at Chaminade just a couple years ago. He'll actually be coming here originally as a preferred walk-on. We have not seen this type of action in June ever. I think at this time last year, we only had 2 or 3 commits. I pointed out in my article, kind of going all the way back, and this is before a lot of the recruiting sites started recording a lot of this data, so I don't know what were some of the very early years of Schnellenberger. But the last time FAU had this many commits at this date was Charlie Partridge's infamous Fab 15 class, which had 5 at this point. And FAU right now is already, about halfway done. Now, yes, when you get this many kids early, there could be decommitments and, as you move forward. But, this staff has just done an amazing job taking advantage of getting recruits when a lot of kids out there are committing earlier and earlier.
Fab 15, that is something I've not heard in ages. Was that the class with Jordan Scarlett and Roderick Archer and all them?
Yes, Jordan Scarlett was committed, Roderick Archer.
What a class it could have been if,
at
all.
FAU for a year. You know what's funny is that class got all the hype, but it was Charlie Partridge's next class, which was really the one that made the team out there looking at, but had a couple of players named Harrison Bryant and Devin Motor Singletary in it. So that's really the fab class of Charlie's career. But yeah, and also kind of making a lot of the comparisons, I pointed out this on Twitter right now. 7 of our 13 public commits are from Dade and Broward alone. I mean, we have 2 kids committed from Miami Northwestern. I think FAU had 1 between 2017, 2018, and 2019. Going back into these schools that are powerhouses in South Florida and getting the local talent. Not that Lane didn't do that to a degree. You know, they did it a little bit more nationally, which we're doing as well. We'll talk about in a second. But, you know, it was just a little different philosophy. And, you know, I made the point that this coaching staff has, decades and decades and decades of experience coaching Florida. And when you have that and you're in a time in quarantine, when all you can do, as Coach Tagger pointed out, is pretty much watch game tape, watch huddle tape, and you have to heavily lean on the high school football coaches you know and build relationships with. So when you have a staff where it's guys like Coach Woody, who's done a great job as recruiting coordinator, Jim Levitt, who obviously knows how to recruit Florida, Willie Tagger knows how to recruit Florida, you know, Coach Trickett been here recruiting for years. You know, definitely shout out to Coach Norrid, getting four linemen to commit this early is huge. Okay, teams need to take 4 to 5 linemen a year, and you'll see a lot of Power Fives kind of trying to add some on at the end. So 4 commits is huge at this point. And, you know, they have all this experience, so they've been able to lean on a lot of high school coaches to get good information on kids.
Yeah, having those type of connections definitely helps. And that kind of goes back to a question that you asked Coach Taggart on the presser on Monday, Shane. And Coach Taggart said it's all about those relationships when you have those relationships. And again, he said film doesn't lie. You know, we have all these relationships with these coaches already. We know how to get the film. We know which programs are legit and what's not. So it's a bit easier for a school like us than it is for someone else out of state who doesn't really know how Florida football works. That being said, I'm thinking about all of the players from Broward and Miami-Dade County committing to FAU. The last FAU superstar, and correct me on this, guys, the last FAU superstar that came from Broward and Miami-Dade, and correct me on this, guys, if I'm wrong, would probably be Rashad Smith. Rashad Smith came from Homestead, is that right? Homestead? Or
correct, yes.
Can you guys think of another big Miami-Dade product that's younger than Rashad Smith? Obviously, he's gone from the program now. Can you think of anyone else?
On the team right now,
that's like a star, you know what I mean? Like a big,
well, I mean, there's a bunch of young players,
yeah,
but yeah, true, like next year coming into your definite starter, top tier player on the team. Not really. I mean, Andre Lamas was part of last year's class, there's a couple other Miami guys, you know, there was a couple of Miami guys added on late, Trevor Reeves in the 2020 class from Miami Edison, but no, that's a good point. I can't think of. And well, yeah, now that I think really kind of
so Lamas
deep into it,
yeah, Lamas might be, you know, he might be in rotation, comes from Columbus High School, and it's interesting because, you know, you hear that school to the south talking about how they're the institution for Miami, but you're looking at the recruiting class and they hardly have any kids from Miami-Dade. They're still irrelevant in the eyes of kids in Miami, in the eyes of the media in Miami. Meanwhile, the team a little bit further north on the border of Broward and Palm Beach County, who actually has rings and has championships, are kind of flexing their muscles and stealing kids right from their backyard. I think it's great to see. And schools like FIU and Marshall, when Lane left, they thought that, you know, this is going to be their time to come up, maybe get some recruits. And so far, as where it stands right now, guys, FAU has the number one recruiting class in the entire conference. That could be for the fourth year in a row. It's as if nothing changed.
Yeah, there's still lots to add. I definitely think there will be, before this is all said and done, there will be a handful of JUCO players in this class. They need to add to the defensive line. That's one position to look out. Always looking for maybe a JUCO offensive lineman to add in there, a bigger, more experienced body. every school kind of looks for one of those G5 schools to plug in wide receiver. You know, I know FU has all this talented receiving coming back, but, you know, next year we lose five seniors. Willie Wright, John Mitchell, Aaron Young, and TJ Chase will all be gone after this year in a couple grad transfers. So, you know, they'll probably definitely have to hit the JUCO market for just to bring in some more experience. But yeah, I expect it to continue. And I also expect, you know, some spots to be held off at the end for some big fish that kind of maybe fall off, you know, some of those major Power Five schools at the end. And, you know, hopefully another season of winning could even prompt those guys even more.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Willie is certain. I hope that he would kind of see what Lane has done. And there's always been, you know, one or two players that kind of fell to us at really late, right, you know, as fall camp was starting, even as the school year was starting. I mean, even during the year, forget the offensive lineman that we had that got plugged in like halfway through the year and finished the rest of the season. So hopefully Willie sees, like, you know, again, we are, I think that this is one of the benefits of what Lane has built and also where we are. Like, people are always going to want to come to South Florida. Like, this is, and now that we're starting to have the facilities come back. Yes. That's a good point where, you know, they go to Illinois or they go to Minnesota, or they go to someplace cold and they're like, I got to get back home where it's warm and we can, you know, roll out the welcome mat. And again, now that we really have the facilities and starting to build some tradition, you know, I think there'll be even more of those people wanting to want to come check us out. So,
and I know it hurts a little bit, you know, the portal giveth and the portal taketh away all the time. You know, we'll talk about it. It's taken away for us. But being in South Florida, eventually the NCAA is going to go to a rule of not having to sit out. No more waiver. You get one free transfer, right? And yes, it will hurt FAU fans and G5 programs when we have a senior that transfers to a bigger program, a John Rain, a Miko Dodson, or something like that. But trust me, there is a lot of kids who leave this state to go to Power Five schools, and for one reason or another, it just doesn't work out. So, you know, for every one guy we might lose, they're just twofold coming back to us. I mean, you know, let's do, you know, Jack was getting a little bit on FIU, but let's talk about, you know, how they added a four-star recruit in Henry Gray, who enrolled early in Nebraska. So, I mean, he's essentially this year, 2020, he basically went to Nebraska for 2 months as an early enrollee and came right back. Okay. They picked up a four-star kid that would have been added onto their 2020 class. It might even made them the number one class in 2020 for FIU. So it's, you know, there's always these kids coming back. But yeah, you know, when it does get taken away at senior positions, it does hurt. And, you know, we saw that this week, you know, with Jose Barnwell entering the transfer portal at a position that right now we can't really afford to lose anyone at.
Yeah, Shane, you kind of mentioned how we might need some JUCO players at the O-line and at receiver, especially, you know, this year or the next class. I feel like we're going to need some JUCO guys at the linebacker position immediately because we're switching to a 3-4. We have Caliph Bryce and Eddie Williams. Honest to God, I can't really name anyone else. Horsey Bronwell was going to be the lead guy, you know, especially with Kiki's eligibility in the air. We asked Coach Taggart in the presser on Monday if there's any update, and he was very quick to dismiss that there's any update to Kiki being on the team. We don't know what's going on with that situation, guys, just so you know. So, you know, all we can do is hope that Kiki comes back, hope that Eddie Williams starts eating some Miracle-Gro, and then we get a JUCO or two, because – same thing with the defensive line. It's not going to
none of that's going to help this year. It's not.
It's going to be some frustrating.
This year is kind of, you know, where we're at. You know, there was a little bit of talk, you know, with Taggart in the press conference, and we were asking, someone did follow up and ask about some of the worrying at the linebacker position. And, you know, he made a good point just saying, worried about every position right now. We haven't been with these guys, right? I was followed up by, well, maybe the NCAA grant some extra practices. And, you know, he didn't seem confident that that was going to happen. You know, we can, on paper, it looks great with all these transfer receivers and adding Michael Irvin Jr. And, but how many times has Chris Robinson thrown to them? Yeah. Normally you'd have a spring and a summer to work with these guys, pick up the phone, let's go run routes. You know, we're probably going to be breaking in a new center and a left tackle. I mean, that is
new offensive scheme.
Yeah, and a new offensive scheme. You got to think last year it took about 6 weeks. It's really to the Western Kentucky game, to the offensive line to get clicking on kind of where they took that next step, and you could see it distinguished, you know, that they were getting a little better every week. But that game, which I forgot, that was like week 7 in the season, maybe earlier, 6 or 7, that they really took that big step, you know, to becoming the dominant offensive line the rest of the year. So, you know, what it looks like, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about this as we roll into camp, but, you know, and I expect this for a lot of teams. It's going to be sloppy a bit. You mentioned also, Jack, with the 3-4. The outside parts, I really too much wouldn't worry about. You know, you got guys like in the 2020 class, Jermaine Johnson and Chris Jones are going to kind of play that quasi-stand-up pass rushing. We'll just an edge player we see, you know, we – have commits that play that position now. Julius Barfield, Justice Cross, or kids who recently committed who kind of filled that role. It's that inside backer role. And the defense tackles up the middle, which are being much needed right now.
Yeah, I think, we talked about a couple of the kind of recruits and also some of the linebacker issues. Certainly the biggest name that jumps off the page is Michael Irvin Jr., who transferred from the University of Miami. And at Miami, he was more of a name than a contributor, but who knows? I mean, we've seen people, D'Angelo Antoine is, I think, a pretty good example of somebody that was kind of at the next level, higher level, and then came to FAU and then really had a dominant season. So, well, you know, that's definitely a name to keep in mind.
The Michael Irvin transfer, I mean, that's going to be clutch because news broke just last week that Ramon Smith, he's going to have surgery.
He
already had surgery. Thank you, Shane. He's most likely not going to play this year. If he does, it's going to be super late in the year, kind of like what BJ Emmons did with his ankle the previous season. Lou Dorsey, tight end from Illinois.
He's taken everything FAU off of his Twitter.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's it. That's all you can say. That's all. Let's just say it is doubtful his, you know, if he'll be residing at 770.
FAU returns zero FAU. No one has caught a pass in an FAU uniform at the tight end position.
Harrison Bryant's gone. John Rand's gone. Smith's going to be out for the year. Dorsey, who we were all very, very excited about, probably isn't going to make it to campus. So someone like Irvin, who didn't get, you know, the most of opportunities at Coral Gables / Miami Gardens, Miami Dolphins Stadium, he's going to have to take a major, major role. Granted, we don't really know how big of a role the tight end position is going to have in this new offense. We're going to see if Taggart, who's going to be making the play calls, is he going to have an offense like he had at USF, when it was called the Gulf Coast offense? Is he going to have something more similar to Florida State or Oregon? We just don't know. We know that Lane loved the tight ends and almost used them as like an H-back.
I think we'll see some of that similar.
Yeah.
I think Michael Irvin will be featured. I don't think he would came here, if he didn't felt he was featured, he was going to be featured, you know.
Good point.
Michael Irvin was a big time recruit. This is a kid who caught 21 passes in a high school game. It was, I believe it was his junior year of high school, and he was still out in Texas. He was starting to show some promise at UM, then had the knee injury, and then Brevin Jordan and Will Mallory showed up on campus. So he just kind of got buried. Anyone I've talked to, and when I knew this was going to happen, I went and talked to a lot of people who cover UM to see what, you know, their thoughts were. And every single one of them talked about, like, you know, sometimes you get the feeling where it's like, yeah, maybe just he didn't have it. But every single person said he had it. There was time he was dominating spring games, dominating practices. You know, he's a huge frame. He's just as big as Harrison Bryant, you know. And so he has all that ability, which, you know, he can easily come here. He doesn't have to be Harrison Bryant. I think the receiving core is much improved this year. And we got enough running backs for the entire conference. Right, but can he come here and catch 45 passes and 5 touchdowns in the red zone? Yes, absolutely. He can be that person.
He's going to have to be. He's going to have to be.
Yeah. So
hope so.
I also think he's going to have a very experienced quarterback throwing to him as well.
Yeah.
I think will definitely play in his favor. So
and a strong running game to help, you know, keep defenses on their toes. I mean, the way how our running back depth is exactly how Miami's tight end room is. Miami has a lot of really good tight ends right now. It's same thing with our running backs. Hopefully, same thing with our receivers as well. And quarterbacks, now I think about it.
Yeah, so it'll be – again, it's not even like Monday morning quarterback. I mean, we're all talking about these things and kind of our hopes and kind of plans what we see and who knows what's going to happen this year for the season. But the good thing is players have started to return to campus. FAU just put out this week what their plan is for the fall. So they said the Board of Governors approved what the plan is. And we don't necessarily have to spend much time on that. But, I mean, I think having students on campus is a big positive step forward for football. There's still a long way to go, certainly, in kind of, you know, figuring out logistics of those things and when the season is going to take place. But I think getting the kids on campus or getting the players on campus, I think that's going to be a major stepping stone into certainly the development, and maybe, you know, you mentioned that the NCAA grants a couple more practices, us getting on campus, because I don't think all schools are allowing their players to come back. And also we and FAU could be keeping it, you know, the number close to the vest, but I think when they first showed up, there was zero players tested positive.
Correct.
So, you know, we can keep that trend. You see what's happened at LSU, at Houston, at Texas, so kind of these, you know, places where there's an outbreak on the team and things kind of have to shut down or they have to go back to individual workouts. Hopefully FAU is able to kind of stay on the cutting edge of those things. And, you know, that we can kind of take advantage of there being a delay in the season and getting that time that was missed in the springtime and for the summer. I mean,
I wouldn't expect a delay.
Really?
I think if there's going to be a season, yeah, the NCAA,
I think they're
plowing forward, and it's either right now, I think at this point, they're just going to keep moving forward until someone tells them they can't. But right now, all bets are being, like, I was reading an article, Big 12 and SEC, they plan on starting on time. People got to remember that there's no governing body over all of this. The conferences decide. So if, you know, FAU could go forward, but Minnesota might not want to. But then the next week, you know, FAU's next opponent might say, yeah, we want to play. So there's no – this isn't the NBA where a commissioner shuts it down, or there's not even a players union. So it's what the conferences kind of want to do.
I think they'll delay it for as long as possible just to see what happens and then go forward. I think season's going to happen. but I think that they might delay it for as long as possible and then say, we're doing it.
Like, but yeah, but there's been zero talk of the delay. So I think there,
yeah.
And there's no point. I mean, schools have already, they've already made points and they planned it out. I mean, there's,
when are workouts supposed to, isn't there in July workouts can officially start?
Yes. I mean, FAU has been working out. Our players have been in the weight room since they've been able to come back. And then there's a schedule where I think like in mid, late July, they can start to work with coaches and kind of like walk through type drills. And then they start camp on their regular date. And then it's your regular FAU camp season. Countdown till we play Minnesota. And I think they're just going to proceed that way. Now, what, again, I think this is a very individual basis thing. I don't want to spend too much time. We're a little off topic here. But what happens when one team has a breakout the week before they're supposed to play the next team?
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think anyone has the answers to those questions yet. So, you know, again, I'm just keeping the mindset that we're playing Minnesota September 3rd, and I hope, you know, our players are somewhat meshed by then.
We're going to avenge the loss of 2008, where we were supposed to beat them. Rusty was supposed to lead us to a BCS bowl bid that year.
Is that when the song came out? Is that the year of the song, you know? The dream lives on.
No, that was 2007.
Oh. Yeah, 2008, Lawrence Maroney ran all over us.
Yeah, we lost like 30 to nothing. Anyways, talk about getting off topic. I think we'll see what happens, and we'll try to figure things out as information becomes available. And I don't know. I think right now it's a nice distraction. You know, Willie Taggart's press conference and kind of seeing what he's doing is a kind of nice distraction of what's going on. And I feel cautiously optimistic. You know, I think we've all kind of laid out reasons as to why things are going to be shaky, but you know, hopefully there's we can pull things together. Certainly by conference time.
Real quick, before we sign off, does everyone have their phone backgrounds?
Yeah, that's right.
That FAU Athletics, here you go. FAU Athletics tweeted out. What? There we go. Yeah. It's currently 10:41 and FIU still sucks, if you guys are curious. So we do want to say, you know, a lot of fans have been complaining about the lack of social media interaction. We can tell you that FAU hears you. FAU Athletics is doing the best they can. They have hired basically a social media coordinator to kind of just oversee how the fans interact with the program on social media to kind of just spread the brand, spread awareness, especially in the community, as best they can. So be patient, guys. FAU is doing the best they can, and you can already see from what they did with this wallpaper thing, which was a huge, huge hit amongst fans, amongst players, amongst recruits, that, you know, we're going in the right direction here.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jack. And make sure you get that, because that is, it's pretty nice. And again, something kind of fun. And hopefully we see that type of engagement moving forward. So make sure to check out Shane's article. Digs, talks a little bit more in detail about more specifics what we discussed, and make sure you're checking out FAU Owl's Nest for anything new that happens. And we will we'll catch you guys next time. So as always, we appreciate you joining us. Make sure you check us out: iTunes, Spotify, Twitter, YouTube, FAUOwl'sNest.com. We'll be all over the place. And as usual, we thank you for joining us. And for Shane and Jack, my name is Dan, and go Owls.